May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My all-time favorite TV show is The Office. Do I have any Office fans in here? Okay, good. I never grow tired of the antics of the main character, Michael Scott, regional manager of a mid-sized paper company, and his fine employees. And I have gotten many excellent prank ideas from Jim and his perpetual prank war with Dwight. In seminary, some classmates and I may or may not have snuck into our academic dean's office and put his stapler into a mold of green jello. One of Michael Scott's many hobbies is improv, or improvisational theater. With improv, there are no scripts, no lines to memorize. Instead, the actors are making up the script as they go along, responding in the moment and playing off of one another. It's a dynamic and exciting art form, but it also has the potential to go terribly awry. Michael Scott fancies himself quite the improv actor, but in fact, he is a disaster. In one episode, we get to see Michael with his improv class one night after work. Michael and his classmates are working with their teacher, trying out new techniques and working on their improv skills together. In the first exercise, Michael volunteers to go first, but none of his classmates want to work with him. Finally, the teacher picks a reluctant student to be Michael's partner. She begins the sketch by pretending like she is a little girl, skipping and singing and licking a lollipop. In response, Michael pretends to kick down an invisible door and comes in with an imaginary gun raised, yelling, "I'm Detective Michael Scarn with the FBI." The scene that the first woman set up is ruined. Then the class moves on to another sketch. In this one, a woman pretends that she is pregnant and looking for her doctor. Again, Michael enters the scene, declares himself to be a secret agent, and starts pretending to shoot everyone in the scene. Michael ruins each scene this way, shutting down every story his classmates set up. The Reverend Dr. Sam Wells is an Anglican priest and a respected Christian ethicist. He wrote a book called Improvisation, in which he argues that the Christian moral life is really a life of improvisation, much like the art of improv theater. By this, Wells does not mean that when we're faced with a moral decision, it's cool to just wing it, to just do whatever feels right in the moment. On the contrary, to improvise in the moment requires even more preparation and thoughtful intention than if we have a script to follow. Wells explains that Christian formation is all about preparing us to improvise in different situations. Coming together to worship, taking part in the Eucharist, reading the Bible, praying, all of these are practices that form us individually and communally to be faithful, creative Christian improvisers. In his book, Wells explains a little bit about how improv works. First, he explains that every action is an offer. For example, in Michael Scott's improv class, when his classmate pretended to be a pregnant woman looking for her doctor, she was making an offer to her fellow actors. She was putting something out there for them to work with. Now, when you're presented with an offer, you have two choices. You can accept the offer, or you can block it. You can say yes, or you can say no. To accept the offer is to roll with it, to continue with the scene or the story that your fellow improviser has begun. For example, if Michael had accepted the offer of the pregnant woman looking for her doctor, he could have done any number of things. He could have pretended to be her doctor, her husband, or he could have added a twist to things and pretended to discover that she was not actually pregnant at all. But, of course, this is not what Michael Scott does. Michael blocks. To block the offer is to shut the story down or to take it in an entirely new, unrelated direction. This is what Michael does over and over again. He blocks every offer by taking control of the story and doing what he wants to do with it, namely making it into a super dramatic FBI gunman scene. This is why no one likes working with Michael. Blocking demonstrates a lack of respect for your fellow actors, a refusal to collaborate because you want to control the story yourself. Or blocking can also look like just walking away from the scene, refusing to participate altogether. Either way, the story gets shut down, and you cut yourself off from relationship with your fellow actors. We often understand morality in the same way. When presented with an offer, a moral decision, we have two choices. We can accept it, or we can block it. We can say, yes, I agree with this, I'll work with you, or we can say, no, this is not okay, I refuse to participate. We can accept or we can block. For example, let's say you're standing with a group of people at a party and someone makes an offensive joke. You have a choice. You can accept, which is to say you can laugh along and let it slide, or you can block by refusing to laugh and stating why that joke is offensive, or simply by walking away. But what if there was a third way, a way beyond accepting or blocking? In today's gospel, Jesus shows us this third way, a way that is not of this world, but is of the kingdom of heaven. Sam Wells calls this third way over-accepting. To over-accept is to accept an offer in light of a larger story. And that larger story is the story of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The story of an all-powerful God who loves us, redeems us, and sustains us. Wells argues that Christians are called to over-accept every offer. We do not accept a story as it is, nor do we block that story and refuse to engage. Instead, by over-accepting, we engage the people in our lives, both our friends and our enemies. And when we can stay engaged in this way, we draw people into that bigger story, the story of God's love for the world. In today's gospel, Jesus over-accepts the Jewish law. He says, "You have heard that it was said, but I tell you." In other words, he's saying, "You used to think that you only had these two options, give in or fight back. But I am telling you that there is a third way, a way that is far more powerful and transformative, a way of love that I will show you. When someone hits you on one cheek, turn the other cheek towards them so that they can hit that one too. If a robber holds you up and demands your wallet, give to them your iPhone as well." Why? What is the point of doing it this way? At first glance, it seems like what Jesus is telling us to do is just accept, give in to injustice, be really nice even to bad people. But what Jesus is telling us to do is not exactly nice. In fact, it is inherently disruptive and challenging. When we resist violence with nonviolence, we force our enemy to acknowledge what they are doing, to see that when they dehumanize another, they, in fact, are the ones who are dehumanized. I remember a particularly striking scene from the film Gandhi, which tells the true story of the nonviolent Indian independence movement in the 20th century. In this scene, Gandhi's followers march on the Dharasana salt works to protest against the oppressive British rule. The leader of the march turns to the hundreds of marchers and says, "They expect us to lose heart or to fight back. We will do neither." Then, in groups of four or five, the Indian protesters walk calmly forward towards the gates of the salt works, where British guards stand holding clubs. Each time a row steps forward, the guards strike them down with the clubs, and women come and carry away the bleeding and broken marchers. This goes on for hours, and none of the marchers ever lifts a finger to fight back against the brutality, nor do they turn away and flee. This is over-accepting. The marchers did not fight back. They did not accept the story the world so often tells us, which is that the only way to have power in this life is to forcibly take power from another. Nor did they simply walk away and disengage, for that would have meant buying into the story that they were somehow less than God's own good creation, that their lives and their families did not matter. What they did was witness to a larger story, the only true story, which sings out that there is something greater than the power of violence, greater than our despair, greater and stronger than our hatred or anger. Love. The truest, realest, most powerful force in this world is love. And without it, as our collect of the day says, whatever we do is worth nothing. This is a tense time for our nation. Tensions run high and we are deeply divided. But that means that we have all the more opportunities to practice this third way, the way of Jesus, the way of over-accepting. This is exciting. We get to live out what Jesus was talking about in big, momentous ways, but also in small, everyday ways. In my hometown of San Antonio, the H-E-B Grocery Company is an important part of the community. H-E-B gives away millions of dollars to the San Antonio community every year. One time, a few years ago, H-E-B made a monetary donation to the San Antonio Gay Pride Parade. This really upset some community members who felt that it was immoral or inappropriate for the company to show support for this cause. In response, a group of protesters picketed their local H-E-B, standing outside holding signs and chanting and threatening to withhold their business unless H-E-B rescinded the donation. The store managers had a choice. They could block this offer by calling security and forcing the protesters to leave their property, or they could accept the offer by doing nothing and giving tacit assent to their protests. Instead, the store managers chose a third way. It was a hot Texas summer day, and the protesters were outside on a sweltering afternoon. So the managers brought out to them ice-cold H-E-B brand water bottles. That is not being passive. That is being actively nonviolent and a little sassy, too. I think Jesus demonstrates many times in the Gospels that there is room for sassiness in the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray for opportunities to practice this third way, the way of Jesus, the way of radical, transformative, in-your-face love. Amen.